Happy Easter. Great to see you here today. What a wonderful day. Beautiful day outside. Great day to celebrate the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Today, billions of people are celebrating this day throughout the world. And many of you know the story. You know that on that Friday, he was crucified. Then on Saturday, he was in the grave. And then on Sunday, he rose back to life. Almost everybody knows that story. It doesn't mean that you understand the significance or that we all understand the meaning behind it. But I do want to share a little bit about that. What is the meaning behind this? You know, what's the big deal about this whole story? Well, it's the story of God's love story with us. What happens is no one in this room is good enough to reach God. We all do bad things. Everybody sins. There's so many things, there's so many limitations that we have as individuals. You know, there's things on earth that we cannot accomplish. How much more so is it going to be difficult for us to reach God? So God in his great grace comes to earth as a man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God, coming to earth as a man, knowing that we're not good enough to reach him, but he's good enough to reach us. So what he does is when he dies on the cross, God is saying, I am willingly taking the punishment that everybody deserves. If you've done anything wrong, he is saying, I'm taking that punishment for you. I will pay the penalty. And that's what happened on Friday, Good Friday, when he died on the cross. He was willingly taking the penalty that you owe, that I owe, upon himself. So God himself, an innocent man, pays the penalty for any sin that anybody's ever done. Therefore, all we have to do is trust him. We have to come to grips with the fact that, wow, you mean I'm not so hot? You mean I'm not so great that I can't reach God by my own ability? I have to humble myself and say, God, I'm not good enough to reach you, but you're good enough to reach me. That is the Easter story. That's what it's all about. Even though I'm not good enough to reach God, he's good enough to reach me. He's good enough to reach you. So it's a time to celebrate. When Jesus rose back to life on Sunday, it proved that he was who he said he was. Anybody can make a claim that I'm dying for your sins. But not anybody can say, but I'll come back to life afterwards, and then you'll know I'm God. I'll come back to life afterwards, then you'll know what I'm saying is true, and then you'll know that there is eternal life, and that you can trust me. So what happens is he comes back to life on Easter Sunday, people see him, and it changed the world. Jesus being crucified on the cross did not change the world. Thousands of people were crucified by the Romans. What changed the world is this guy came back to life afterwards, to say, hey, I died for your sins. It is true. There is eternal life. And billions of people today are celebrating what happened 2,000 years ago when God came to earth to reach you because we aren't great enough. We don't have the ability to reach him. That's what it means. Easter is all about us transferring our faith. See, we have a tendency to put our faith in ourselves. We hear all kinds of philosophies in the world. And the philosophies of the world are all about, if you can do this, if you can do that, if you can achieve this, then you arrive. So who do you put your faith in? It's all about putting your faith in yourself. You don't need God. If I can do this, if I can do that. The Easter story is all about transferring your faith, coming to the reality that I can't do it. I will fall short. I have limitations. I am human. So you're transferring your faith from yourself to him. That's the Easter story. He gives us a new life, just like he had a new life. Because once you transfer your faith to him, it's a new start. You're not living any longer on your own. You believe that you have God there with you to make a difference. And that's why today we're going to be talking about Easter, making your life count. Because Jesus came for more than just your eternal salvation. Jesus came to make your life count so that you could make a difference in this world, so that the things that you're doing can make a difference in the lives of others. That same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is available to you today. That same power, it's still the same God. The same God that brought him to life can be in your life, can change your life, can bring things about that you could never dream of. Your life counts. We're beginning a six-week series on this called Do Something. And over these next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about how God can take you and do amazing things with your life. So we hope that you don't just come today. We hope you come for all 6 weeks. and apply these principles. We have a book that we're selling outside that you can buy. We're not making a profit on it. It's just to help you. It goes along with the sermon series. We have small groups that are advertised on our website where you can go to those small groups. During each week, you could come here on Sundays, you could read the book, and you could go to a small group where you can discuss it with others. Our goal isn't for you to just hear it and walk away. We're trying to give you every tool that you need to have success, because we believe that God wants to do something great with your life. You're not here by accident. You might think you're here by accident. You may have not wanted to come, but you're here because of somebody else. It's not an accident that you're here. God brought you here. God knew that you were going to be here today. Do you know that we're surrounded by hurting and broken people? You know, I've been devastated. I've been hurt. I know that you've been devastated. I know that you've been hurt. And so has so many other people around us. There are people whose lives have been destroyed by a car accident, maybe a severed relationship, pride, addictions. Maybe you lost your job and your life is really hurting right now. Maybe you lost a dream. People are hurting. There's pain in this world. The only reason why many of us have survived is because of other people did something. Somebody stood up and was there for you. And God is saying, you can be that type of person. You can do something. You can live that type of life where you make a difference in the lives of others. You can hear about God's passion for us and walk away and do nothing with it. Or you can hear about God's passion for us and turn around and show that passion to others and allow it to affect your life. I know that if you've been like me, sometimes you want to shake your fist at God and say, why aren't you doing something about this? And he's probably yelling back to you, why aren't you? He's given us gifts and talents. Do you know how God's going to change the world? Through us. He has a plan. The plan is you. You are the plan. You know, and as much as I want to shake my fist at him, he's saying, you're the plan. I gave everybody in this room gifts. I gave everybody in this room talents, abilities, that if you're willing to use them for good, good will happen. The negative results in this world have so many times are related to people not using their gifts and talents for good. God is just waiting for us to step forward. And he will give him, and he still has that supernatural power to help you. You might be thinking, but I'm afraid. I don't know enough. You're never going to know enough. If you're not afraid, you're probably not doing something worthwhile. So you're going to be afraid. You're never going to know enough. And you step out in faith. And you trust that in spite of my inability, God's going to help me. Just listen to the news. We have so many, you know, the economic chaos that we're in, wars, AIDS, famine, the ecology system, you know, political corruption. There's so many problems as you just listen to the news. Sometimes it feels like this world is in desperate need. They're in need of you. People in this room that can make a difference. That can step up, that can be a voice, that can be a hand, that can make this world a better place. If you're going to do something to make this world a better place, I think we have to rely on God. We have to rely on that power that only he can give us. Because I'm human. I know I'm going to fall short. I need a power greater than myself to have success. And since he's powerful enough to raise Jesus, he's powerful enough to raise up my dream. He's powerful enough to make a difference in my life, that he can use me in spite of my shortcomings. So during these 6 weeks, I want to ask you to do a couple of things. First, I want you to pray about it and think about it and ask yourself and ask God, you know, Lord, what would you desire me to do? Where can I make an impact in this world? Maybe you have a dream that you've given it up because you just don't think you'll ever be good enough. I want you to look at your gifts and talents. If you have certain gifts, if you have certain talents, use them for God. Some people say, I don't know what my dreams are. Look at your gifts and talents. That's the direction you need to go in. The second thing is, I want you to take any necessary step to get there. Take steps of faith to get there. You have that dream, now take steps of faith to make a difference. Ask God what he needs to do in your life to prepare you. Maybe you need boldness. Maybe you're saying, God, I just need some courage. Maybe you're saying, I need a vision. I need a dream. God, I really have no idea what you would want me to do. I'm lost. I just need something. Maybe you just need more compassion. You know what you want to do, but you're just lacking some compassion. Maybe you're lacking passion. You just need to go for it. God, what is it that I need so that I can accomplish accomplish what you have put me on this earth to do. Jesus came to make an impact. Jesus did not come to live a mediocre life. And so many times we say, he's our example. But then we turn around and live a life that's not counting for anything. That God did not design you for that. He wants your life to make an impact. I want to think back of what happened during that week when he was crucified and when he rose again. On that Thursday, he was with a group of people in the upper room of somebody's house. He was with his disciples, and they had communion together. First time that they ever had communion. I don't know if you know what communion is about, but it was a meal representing Jesus, what Jesus was going to do. It was all about his sacrifice for them. He washed the disciples' feet on that night. Then he told them that Judas was going to betray him. Or he told Judas. I don't think he told them, but he told Judas to go do what you're going to do on that night. And then he said something very amazing. And it's in John 14, 12. It's in your notes. It said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." I read that and I say, what? If we believe in him, you know, Jesus did some mighty works. If we believe in him, we can do greater works than what he did? That seems impossible. There's no way. How could you and I do greater works than he did? Well, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about God's plan and how he's prepared us to do even greater things than Jesus. And it's going to be because Jesus is going to work through you to bring it about. So I want you to prepare your heart for God's perspective, because sometimes it's hard to believe. It's hard for me to even think that we could do something greater than what Jesus did, yet it was Jesus who told us this. Those are his words. Don't resist God's plan for your life. Don't have a lack of faith. Don't have that can't mentality. Now, I'm going to use that word can't to talk about the reasons why we resist God's plan. The C in the word can't is the word confidence. We lack, in your notes, you can fill this in, we lack the confidence that God's plan is really the best thing for us. We lack the confidence that God's plan is really the best thing for us. See, it's difficult for us to have confidence in a God that we can't see, in a God that we can't talk to. You can talk to him through prayer, but you're not going to hear him. You know, now if you think you're hearing voices from God, talk to me afterwards and I'll get you some help. But, you know, you're not going to be able to touch God. It's hard to have confidence in that. We want something more tangible. Second reason is we resist accountability in our lives. The A in the word can't is accountability. We resist accountability in our lives. See, we want to do our own thing. God's plan will always involve accountability, where you have to listen to other people, where you have to listen to God. We have to say, well, I can't just do it the way I want to do it. I have to really seek God. God, is this really what you want? Well, I discuss it over with other people. And we don't like accountability. We like to do what we want to do when we want to do it. In Proverbs 27, 17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." You need people around you that make you sharp. You need people that bring out the best in you. When you have that, you're going to have a good life. God's going to do great things. We're less likely to deny God, and we're more likely to submit to him when we have some people like that in our life that bring out the best in us. The letter N in the word can't is nurturing. We are blind to the fact that God is nurturing us every step of the way. We don't recognize what he's doing in our life, the process that's going by. In Philippians 1:6, it says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God has promised to work in us. But what happens is we forget, or we lose faith, or we don't realize that the bad situation that we're in, God can use it for the good. We don't realize that he's even using those situations to nurture us and prepare us for something greater in our life. The T in the word can't is the word trust. We don't trust that he is with us through thick and thin. I want you to be aware of your tendency to resist God's plan, to lose trust. We need to prepare ourselves to trust God, to trust in his power, to recognize he's got the power to raise the dead. He can do something in my life. I can rely on him. I'm going to compare, as we're talking today, I'm going to compare it with us taking a road trip. You're in a car, and you're going to you're on a trip somewhere, and when you're on a trip, you need a plan. You know, where am I going to go? How are we going to get there? You prepare things. You might bring certain things with you in case something unexpected happens. You know, you might have a spare tire. You might keep a first aid kit, a map, or a GPS system. But, you know, you bring things with you to help the route to go smooth. Now, remember in John where Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll also do. In fact, if you believe in him, you'll do greater works than he. And I said, how is this possible? How can we do greater works than Jesus? Well, I want to look at a few things that he's going to do to prepare us. Number one is the word prepared. In your notes, you have been completely prepared to do something great. You've been completely prepared to do something great. God has gone ahead of you, and he's prepared you to do good works, far greater than what you could ever do on your own. This is good, because you're not left alone to make things happen. You take a step of faith, but you're not relying on yourself. You really believe that God's going to help you. You believe, you know, he's in control. I'm not going to worry about the results. I'm only going to be faithful. I'm willing to step out there and try to do something, to try to make a difference with my life. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's created you to do something special, to make a difference. Every possible spiritual advantage God set aside for you, he did. He knows your gifts. He knows your talents. He knows how he's wired you, and he wants to use you in a specific way. He knew your name before you were born. He had this plan for you from the beginning of time. Now, you and I, we're not messiahs, but there's things about the Messiah that we can follow. We're not Christ, but there's things about him that we can follow. There's things about his life that we can, that God can use us to make a difference. One thing is love. He's known for being loving. You can be known for being loving. Jesus came to give the hopeless hope. You can be known as someone that gives hopeless people hope. There's attributes about Christ that we can do, that we can bring hope to this world, that we can bring love to others. Just as God made all the necessary preparations for Jesus to accomplish his purpose, he's prepared you to succeed if you're willing to trust him and take that step. Number two in your notes, there's a purpose behind everything you do. In 1 John 5:3, it says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. When you take a trip, a basic rule on that journey is to follow the directions. If you want to get somewhere, you won't get there unless you follow the directions. You know, I don't know where I'm going. I know where I want to go. I have no idea where it is. I'm just going to drive. And eventually, if I drive long enough, I'll hit it. Probably not. It doesn't go that way. You have to know the direction that you're going. For us, spiritually, we need to follow God's direction. In a car, you may be following a map. But we're following God's direction. God, what have you called me to do? The greatest command, the greatest direction that he gives us is to love. It's very clear. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. We know the direction of our life. There's enough direction there to get you going. Well, one thing's clear. He wants me to be loving. Loving the world was Jesus' purpose. This is the purpose of our life. The foundation of everything that we do is about, am I being loving toward other people? Do you know that love has rules? The Bible says to love God is to obey him. Well, all love has rules. If you're married, you have rules. I can't say I love my spouse and then go out and sleep with somebody else. Why? Because there's rules. There's rules that say you don't do that. You don't do that. If you love your spouse, you're supposed to be faithful to your spouse. There's not an opt-out clause that says, well, I'm faithful to my spouse when I feel like it. No, it doesn't work like that. No, love means even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to do the right thing. That's why it says, if you love God, you'll obey him. Because if you love him, even when you don't feel like it, you obey him. It's like that with everything. I'm deceiving myself if I say I love somebody and then I'm treating them wrong. I'm deceiving myself if I say I love God and I'm not obeying him, if I'm not doing the right thing. We know for sure, love. Love is what we're called to do. But there's rules involved. Love means obedience. If I love you, God, I'll do what you say. If I don't love you, I'll reject you. Now, I can say I love God and I can reject him by what I do. I don't love him. It's just lip service. The Bible talks so many times about people giving lip service. To love God means you obey him, which means you follow him. It means you trust him. And therefore, you follow him. Jesus gave his life to us, not because it was easy, not because he felt like it. Do you think Jesus said, oh, I just feel like dying today. I'm going to let them nail me to a cross. No, he did not feel like it. He did it out of obedience to God. He did it out of love for you and I. He knew that we couldn't reach him, so he reached us. He reached us. It's a matter of love. Third is sometimes we will experience pain. In James 4:1, it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you can't have what you want. We have a lot of problems and pain when we start fighting one another. To the point, people have killed one another. You can't talk about pain. People have killed one another over the selfish wants that they have. So many bad things have happened out of selfishness. Pain is a part of this world. Every trip that you go on, things happen. The ride isn't always smooth. Sometimes you have a flat tire. The ride just isn't always smooth. Sometimes the car breaks down. There's just so many things that are out of our control. And it's that way in life. Life is not smooth. We want to have a pain-free life. But it doesn't happen that way. And you can be doing all the right things, and bad things will happen to you. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Good things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. It's a part of being a human being. And we have disappointments, and we experience pain. But pain doesn't only have to hurt. God can use that for the good. See, pain is inevitable. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's emotional, but you can't avoid it. This is a result of living in a broken world. It can be caused by persecution, gossip, maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe it's something dumb that you've done that's hurt your life. Pain can come from obeying God. Wasn't Jesus obeying God? Pain can come from doing the right thing. You can be treated wrong because you chose to do the right thing. You can lose your job because you're a man or woman that has integrity. Pain can come from doing right. Pain can come from doing wrong. There's just one guarantee. Pain comes. It's going to be there. And in every painful situation, God gives us the opportunity to trust him. God gives us the opportunity to rely on him to change us, to be with us, to help us through these difficult times. When I was going through my divorce, it was very painful. It still hurts. It still hurts. Those are things that really are hard to get over. And we're talking about how God can use your pain for the good. I can't tell you how many people here who have been hurt in relationships, have taken me out to lunch, have spent time with me, have talked with me, and have brought healing in my life. That's the greatest example of using your pain for the good of somebody else. You know, you've gone through times where you've been betrayed by a dear friend. You've gone through times that your life has been shattered. And you're taking that experience and that pain that you had, and now you're using it to help somebody else that's going through that pain, this hurt. That's God in action. That's God using your life for something good. Number four, God has provided us power to do something. In Ephesians 3:20-21, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God can do more than what we can ask or imagine. Think about that. God can do more than what you could ever imagine. In the same way that your car, when you're on that trip, if it's not powered by the engine, you're not going. You also need power if you're going to do something for God. You're going to need some sort of spiritual power. If you want to make a difference in the spiritual realm, you're going to need some spiritual power. And we're going to be discussing this power over the next few weeks as you continue to come, I hope. Spiritual power can reach down into a physical world and change things that seemed to be natural. And you can see things turned around in a way that you would have never dreamed possible. We have access to God's power. It's given to us. Remember how we read in John 14, 12, where it said, we can do greater things than Jesus? How? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about God's Spirit comes into us. When you put your faith in God, it says His Spirit comes into you. You have God's Spirit working in you from the inside to make a difference if you're willing to allow Him to make a difference in your life. God has resources that you don't know about. He has timing that you don't know about. He has ideas that you don't know about. He has thoughts that you don't know about. He can turn around the hearts of people in ways that you could never expect. God desires to bless you with His power, with His spiritual power. We know that He has the authority, the ability. You have to take a step of faith. He can do more than what you could ever imagine. It's just our job to stay connected to Him. It's our job to be intimate with Him. Continue to pray. Continue to read the Bible. Have that type of relationship with Him that you need so that you can hear from Him. Number five, doing something significant will require a passion that constantly screams, don't quit. In Luke 9:62, it says, but Jesus said to them, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Once we begin working on something, it's saying, don't look back. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't think, oh, I wish I never started. No, keep going. Passion is a commitment that says, I'm not going to quit. If you're going to achieve anything great in life, you have to have that spirit of passion. I'm not going to quit. Because anything great is going to have hard times. Let me tell you what. If you're accomplishing something that doesn't have hard times, you're probably not accomplishing very much. But if you're going to accomplish something great, you're going to have hard times. Your world's going to get shook sometimes. Because life is hard. And when you're trying to do something great, it's going to be hard. So what you have to have is you have to have that passion. You have to believe it. You have to have that feeling, that belief that this is what God wants me to do. This is what I was made for. And when you hit that wall, you find a way to get around it or over it. You don't stop and turn around. You say, I'm not going to quit. I'm committed to this. God gave me this passion. Our lives are going to go through unexpected ups and downs. Our job is to consistently obey Him and go forward. Life comes with unexpected tragedies. It can be tough. You're going to get burned. You're going to be betrayed by people that you loved, by people that you trusted. It's going to happen. Those type of things happen. And you've got to get yourself back up and keep moving forward. There's no way to avoid pain. Pain comes. If you're going to do something that makes your life count, there's going to be pain. But you have to give up. You can't give up. You have to have that passion that doesn't know how to quit. I don't know how to quit. I'm just going to get up and go again and go again. Now, you might want to be smart and not do the same way. I think, that time it hurt. Maybe there's a better way. But you don't stop. You keep going. Without passion, you're never going to complete your God-given mission. How far into difficult situations do you find yourself stopping? When it gets a little bit hot, do you say, okay, I quit? Has that been your pattern? That's not the life that God has in store for you. You can be a winner, but you've got to bear through those tough times. Don't give up. Where would Jesus be if He quit on you? It's time for us to get up and do something. God has a plan for this world, and you are that plan. And you can't shake your hand at God and say, God, why aren't you doing something? Because He's the one that gave you the talents. He's the one that gave you the ability to do your part. And God is saying, I have a plan. I'm trying to do something. You just won't listen. You're so busy blaming everybody else that you just won't do your part. And we can't be a bunch of people blaming. We have to get out there and be the people that God's called us to be. God has a plan. And if you're going to do something with your life, you need to put your faith in God's plan. The first step is to acknowledge and submit to God's plan. And how do I do that? How do I acknowledge God's plan and submit to it? It's by me saying, okay, God, I will do my part. I'm going to use my gifts and my talents to make this world a better place. I'm not going to blame other people. I'm just going to get out there and do my thing. And if I do what God created me to do to make this world better, then I know when I stand before God, He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And maybe I can encourage other people along the way to make a difference as well. His agenda needs to be your agenda. So I want you to decide today to make Easter the turning point of your life, where you, in the future, when you think back, it was the Easter of 2010 that I decided, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to be the person that I was always meant to be, but I never did it. I don't care if you're 5 or if you're 95. You can do it. You can make the rest of your life the best of your life if you choose to do it. So what I'd like to ask you to do is I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I want you to make this your prayer to God. Think about every word that I'm saying. And as I pray, you pray along with me silently, and you pray this prayer to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, my plans are worthless compared to your plans for my life. Jesus, please take your place on the throne of my heart. Lord, please cleanse my sin. Please take over my life. Lord, my life is yours. I trust you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.